نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with شرح السنة of Imam al-Barbahari رحمه الله with the explanation of Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan حفظه الله. The last time we had points number 76 and 77, and just to very briefly mention something from what we had, a very brief abridgment of what we had, then the first point was with regard to an-nasiha, that it is not permissible to withhold an-nasiha, sincere advice, from any Muslim, and that withholding it is to act deceitfully. And Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he explained what is the meaning of this word an-nasiha, as occurs in the hadith of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the authentic hadith, that he described the deen as being ad-deen al-nasiha, the religion is an-nasiha. So he mentioned, Shaykh al-Fawzan hafidhullah, that an-nasiha in the language means to be free, is to be true, outwardly and inwardly. That outwardly and inwardly, one is the same with regard to truthfulness and sincerity. And this quality is the opposite of al-ghish, deceit, to be deceitful, to be a person of trickery. And Shaykh Al-Fawzan quoted the hadith in that regard, ad-deen al-nasiha. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the religion is an-nasiha, it's a quality of sincerity. And in one wording, it's authentic, he repeated it three times. And Shaykh Al-Fawzan said to stress this point. And when they asked towards whom, sincerity towards whom, and he said towards Allah, and his book, and his messenger, and towards the rulers of the Muslims and their common folk. And the explanation with all the details connected to that. And then we had point number 77, that Allah the Most High hears and sees and knows. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said this relates to the third branch of Tawheed. Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat. As we know, Tawheed are the three branches, all of them essential for a person to correctly be upon Tawheed, that he establishes Tawheed of Allah's Lordship, Rububiyyah, and Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, that he establishes worship of Allah alone. He directs all his worship towards Allah alone and none besides him. And then, as Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, the third category is what's referred to here, Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat, Tawheed of Allah's names and attributes. That we affirm for Allah the Most High whatever occurs in the book of the Sunnah with regard to the names and attributes of Allah the Most High. We affirm them as they occur. And we believe in their meanings, and we believe in what they necessitate. And we do not enter into how they are. We can't enter into that, the kayfiyyah. How the attributes are, we don't enter into that matter. And he quoted the saying of Imam Malik, or a part of it, with regard to the attribute of the istiwa, Allah the Most High's ascending over the throne. Imam Malik said, al-istiwa, ascending, is ma'alum, is something known. Wal-kayfu majhoom. But how is unknown. How is unknown. So we do not enter into how. And we had the point that Allah the Most High knew that the creation were going to disobey Him. Even before He created them, He knew that the creation would disobey Him. But this fact did not prevent Him from guiding them to Islam. Allah guided, as occurred, all of the creation. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan clarified this point so that it's not misunderstood. What does it mean that Allah guided the whole of the creation? When we realize there are the kuffar disbelievers or upon misguidance, then Shaykh al-Fawzan made it clear that because guidance is of two kinds. The first is the guidance of the irshad, the guidance of direction to what is correct, pointing and directing the people, mankind, to what is correct. And that is general to the believers and disbelievers. And then secondly, guidance of tawfiq, of actually being granted that you accept that guidance and are made firm upon it. Then that is specific to the believers. And we have the point that Allah the Most High has indeed favoured the believers, those he has guided, favoured them through his generosity, munificence and favour. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he brings a separate point from number 78, as occurs here on page 391. Where Imam Abu Muhammad al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, said, وَأَلَمْ أَنَّ الْبِشَارَةَ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ ثَلَاثُ بِشَارَاتٍ يُقَالُ أَبْشِرْ يَا حَبِيبَ اللَّهِ برضا الله والجنة ويقال أبشر يا عبد الله بالجنة بعد الإسلام ويقال أبشر يا عدو الله بغضب الله والنار هذا قول ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. He's saying, رحمه الله, and know that there are three forms of address for the tidings that are given when one dies. It may be said, receive good tidings, O beloved one of Allah, of Allah's pleasure and of paradise. Or it may be said, receive good tidings, O servant of Allah, of paradise, on account of Islam. Or it may be said, receive tidings, O enemy of Allah, of Allah's anger and of the fire. This was the saying of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And just as a small side point, in some of the versions the wording is as it occurs here, and in some of them the order is slightly different, and instead of the second phrase Abshir Ya Abdullah bil Jannati ba'd al Islam, in another version it has Abshir Ya Abdullah rather instead of Abshir Ya Adu Allah. No, as I said, rather Abshir Ya Abdullah bil Jannati ba'd al Islam, receive tidings of good tidings of servant of Allah of paradise after Islam. In some versions it has instead Abshir Ya Abdullah bil Jannati ba'd al Intiqam, receive glad tidings, O servant of Allah, of paradise, after intiqam, after vengeance has been taken upon you. Allah, as we see in the version here, Shaykh al-Hawzan's explanation is upon, then the wording is, receive tidings, O servant of Allah, of paradise, after Islam, after having accepted Islam. Shaykh al-Hawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, the person who is dying, whether he is a believer or a disbeliever, will be given tidings, meaning news of what is going to come after. He will be given tidings at the point of death. So if he is a believer, he will be given good tidings of Allah's mercy and of paradise. And if he is a disbeliever, he will be given tidings of Allah's anger and of the fire. So he will not die, he will not actually die, until he knows where he will be. And it will not be possible for him to repent, or to free himself, or to increase in righteous deeds. I mean, just before his death, too late then. And he receives his tidings, it will be too late for him. Sheikh said, this is what occurs in the hadith that man ahabba liqa Allahi ahabba Allah liqa'ahu, whoever loves to meet Allah, then Allah will love to meet him. So Aisha said, O Messenger of Allah, all of us dislike death. So he said, laysa kadhalik ya Aisha, wa innama al-mu'minu يبشر عند الموت فيحب لقاء الله فيحب الله لقاءهم والكافر يبشر بالنار فيبغض لقاء الله فيبغض الله لقاءهم. Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, it is not like that, O Aisha. Well, that is not the case, O Aisha. But rather, the believer at the point of death will be given good tidings. And so therefore, he will love to meet Allah. And so Allah will love to meet him. Whereas the disbeliever will be given tidings of the fire. So therefore he will hate the meeting with Allah. So Allah will hate to meet him. In a footnote they mention that this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and the correct reference should be hadith number 6507. 6507. And reported by Muslim as hadith 2683 from a hadith of Ubadah bin As-Samit radiallahu anhu. And also reported by Al-Bukhari with a disconnected chain with the same reference, 6507, and by Muslim as hadith 2684 from a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Then Shaykh Fawzan continued and said, and he the Most High said, إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Surah Al-Ahqaf, the 26th Surah, Ayah 13. With the explanation. Those who said, our Lord is Allah, and then they remain upright, then there will be no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. He said, and He the Most High said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَنْ لَا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوْعَدُونَ. Surah Fussilat, the 41st Surah, Ayah 30, with the explanation. Those who said, our Lord is Allah, then they remained upright. Then the angels will descend upon them, saying, fear not, and do not grieve, and receive glad tidings of paradise, which you were promised. He said, and He the Most High said, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ وَذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ. Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th Surah, Ayah 50, with the explanation. And if you could see, when the angels take the souls of the disbelievers, striking their faces and their backs, and taste the punishment of the blazing fire. We seek Allah's refuge. Then, Imam al-Barbahari, Allah, he continued, with a separate point number 79, Saint of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, wa'lam anna awwala man yanzuru ila Allah ta'ala fil jannati al-adirrari thumma al-rijalu thumma al-nisa bi'a'yuni ru'usihim kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam innakum satarawna rabbakum kama tarawna al-qamara laylat al-badr لا تضامون في رؤيته والإيمان بهذا واجب وإنكاره الكفر. The saying of Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, and know that the first ones who will see Allah the Most High in Paradise are the blind people, then the men, then the women with the eyes of their heads. Just as Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you shall certainly see your Lord just as you see the moon on the night when it is full. You will not have any difficulty in seeing him. It is obligatory to have iman in this, and denying it is disbelief. Abu Fawzan, hafizahullah, says in explanation, the topic of affirmation of ar-ru'ya, the topic of affirmation of, meaning of ar-ru'ya, of seeing Allah the Most High in the hereafter, has proceeded. And this is re-emphasis of what has preceded. And as for this order, which the author mentioned, then it needs a proof. In other words, that Shaykh Fawzan is affirming that as for the issue of ar-ru'ya, of seeing Allah the Most High in the hereafter, then this is something that the people of the Sunnah are upon, something that's already preceded in the book, confirmed and established. But as for this specific order, that the first ones who will actually see Allah the Most High are the blind people, and then the men, and then the women, then the Shaykh Fawzan said this is something that needs a proof. In terms of the like of that order, then we need to have an authentic proof for them. Before continuing, the hadith in that regard that we had before in the book is the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, this hadith 554, meaning with regard to seeing Allah the Most High in the hereafter, not with regard to the order. Affirming seeing Allah the Most High in the hereafter is the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, reported by Al-Bukhari, this hadith 554, and Muslim, this hadith 633. And on this specific point, the point of this order that those who will see Allah first are the blind, then the men, then the women, then the one doing the footnotes in one of the versions, Khalid al-Radadi, he said, there occurs in this regard a hadith which is traced back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it is not authentic. It was mentioned by Ad-Daylami in his book, Firdaus al-Akhbar, from Samara ibn Jundab, from him, in tracing back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it's not authentic. And also Al-Larika'i, in his book As-Sunnah, quoted this with a weak chain of narration, as being the saying of Al-Hasan al-Basri. As the saying of the Tabi'i, Al-Hasan al-Basri, and even that has a weak chain of narration. Finally, before moving on, Shaykh Suhaimi, hafizahullah, he said in explanation of this point, the author, rahimahullah, made it clear that whoever denies seeing the Creator has disbelieved. If he denies that the ru'ya, the whole ru'ya, seeing Allah the Most High, then he's disbelieved. He said, this ruling is a general ruling, because whoever denies a matter which is known necessarily from the religion, then he's a disbeliever. But as for the person who is overcome by a doubt, a shubha, false doubt, and he is not able, he doesn't know how to resolve this doubt, or he resolves it with a mistake, then this is a different matter. He said those matters that a person does based upon a false doubt that comes upon him and is not able to free himself or arrive at what is correct in the matter, then we leave his affair to Allah. However, if he is a person who knowingly denies these matters, then he is disbelieved. However, the one who just denies, all he's doing is denying, unknowingly, not knowing that it's the truth, he denies it but doesn't know it's the truth, or he is falsely interpreting, then his affair is looked at. And if it's found that he is mu'anid, one who's deliberately, obstinately rejecting, otherwise, I mean, that he knows, the Shaykh said, that he knows the evidences and still rejects, and he knows that they are the truth, and then he deviates from them. There's no doubt that he is a disbeliever. He has exited from the religion. But if it is a person whom some doubts have become, some difficult doubts have come upon him, and he's not able to free himself from them, then we leave his affair to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And with regard to the next point, that we'll take as the last point today, inshaAllah, point number 80, or the point before the last, because not too long, inshaAllah. Point number 80, Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَأَلَمْ أَنَّهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ زَنْدَقَةٌ وَلَا كُفْرٌ وَلَا شُكُوكٌ وَلَا بِدْعَةٌ وَلَا ضَلَالَةٌ وَلَا حَيْرَةٌ فِي الدِّينِ إِلَّا مِنَ الْكَلَامِ وَأَهْلِ الْكَلَامِ والجدري والمراء والخصومة والعجب. وكيف يجترئ الرجل على المراء والخصومة والجدال؟ والله تعالى يقول ما يجادل في آيات الله إلا الذين كفروا. الآية من سورة الغافر. فعليك بالتسليم والرضا بالآثار والكف والسكوت. He said, and know that heresy, disbelief, doubts, innovations, misguidance, and confusion about the religion have not occurred except through rhetorical theology, al-kalam, and the people of rhetorical theology, and through argumentation, debating, disputing, and self-amazement. And how can a man boldly enter into debating, disputing, and argumentation when Allah the Most High says, of course the ayah, Surah Baqarah, the 40th Surah, Ayah 4, مَا يُجَادِلُ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. The ayah with the explanation, non-dispute regarding the ayat of Allah except those who disbelieve. So upon you is to submit and to be pleased and satisfied with the narrations and to withhold and remain silent. Brief point here with regard to al-kalam, what was translated here as rhetorical theology, al-kalam, and Sheikh Salih al-Suhaimi, hafidhahullah, he said with regard to the meaning of kalam, he said, ilm al-kalam, al-murad bihi, ilm al-mantiq. What is meant by this word kalam, it means logic. It's referring to logic. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, hafidhahullah, in his explanation, explanation of this has preceded, and a warning against it. And as they say in a footnote on page 125 of this first volume, meaning point number 11. There's already been a warning in the book from Imam al-Barbahari with regard to theological rhetoric. Then Sheikh Barzan said with regard to the last phrase here, so what's upon you is, فَعَلَيْكَ بِالتَّسْلِيمِ وَالرِّضَى بِالْآثَارِ وَالْكَفِّ وَالسُّكُوتِ. So what is upon you is to submit and to be pleased and satisfied with the narrations, and to withhold and remain silent. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, upon you is to submit to the speech of Allah and to the speech of His Messenger, and to withhold from argumentation and raising doubts, because that is prohibited. Indeed, it will increase confusion. Take hold of the speech of Allah and the speech of His Messenger, and be satisfied with that, so that you are guided, and be at peace, and therefore be at peace from whisperings and doubts and false ideas, and you will come to be upon clear insight. So Allah sent down this Quran as a clarification of everything. That's where Sheikh Fawzan ends explanation of this point. As for the explanation, just as a side point, the explanation of Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, then he said, the author said, and you should know that there has not been any heresy, nor any disbelief. He said, I say, Sheikh Ahmad said, I say, restricting heresy to be a result of al-kalam, rhetorical theology, and to the people and the people of rhetorical theology, and to the people of disputing and arguing and argumentation. This refers to what's mostly the case. However, there may be heresy, indeed there is. There are cases of heresy and disbelief which come about for other reasons besides kalam, rhetorical theology. This is what's been referred to here, is what's generally the case, mostly the case, but not always. He said, and we seek Allah's refuge from all the causes of heresy and disbelief and doubts and innovations. Mm-hmm. However, this is what is generally the case with regard to a person who learns kalam, rhetorical theology. This is what generally happens. It leads to those things. And those who learn the different forms of debating and arguing and argumentation and self-amazement. And what is obligatory is to not be amazed at oneself. And a person's being outstanding in debating and arguing and argumentation is something which is blameworthy in the legislation, unless it is to make the truth clear. Unless it's done to make the truth clear. And there occurs in the authentic hadith from a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the most hated of men to Allah is al-aladul khasim, the argumentative, quarrelsome person. The most hated of men to Allah is the argumentative, quarrelsome person. Hadith reported by al-Bukhari, Hadith 2457, and Muslim, Hadith 2668. He said, and in the narration of At-Tirmidhi, Allah hates that person who is very eloquent from the men, the one who moves his tongue around, just as the cows move their tongues around. Hadith reported by Tirmidhi, 2853, and declared Sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani. He said, and then the author, rahimahullah, said, how can a person be bold upon argumentation and disputing when Allah says, مَا يُجَادِلُ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. The ayah from Surah Ghafir, the same ayah with the explanation. No one disputes with regard to the ayat of Allah except for those who disbelieve. The Shaykh said, so upon you is to submit and to be satisfied, or quoting again, upon you is to submit and to be pleased and satisfied with your narrations and to withhold and be silent. Shaykh Ahmad said, and I say, what is befitting for the Muslim is to submit to whatever comes from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, in His book, and upon the tongue of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to withhold and be silent about whatever is beyond that, whatever is besides that, knowing that submission to what occurs from the legislator, the bringer of the legislation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should be a submission of ridha, being pleased and satisfied. It shouldn't be a submission of just, you have to act, submit against my will. No, it should be a submission, has to be a submission of being pleased and satisfied. And of based upon acceptance and iman, and attesting to the truth. And acting upon whatever requires action from it, and believing whatever it necessitates that we believe in. Allah the Most High said, "Wal asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu as-salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr." Surah Al-Asr, the ayahs 1 to 3. The explanation by time, mankind is in loss, except those who have iman, except those who truly believe, and work righteous deeds, righteous and correct deeds, and they encourage each other with the truth, and they encourage each other with patience. And he said, and the meaning of amanu is saddaqu, they believe and attest to the truth. Final point, the point that we'll take today, inshaAllah, point number 81, the saying of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يُعَذِّبُ الْخَلْقَ فِي النَّارِ فِي الْأَغْلَالِ وَالْأَمْكَالِ وَالسَّلَاسِلِ وَالنَّارُ فِي أَجْوَافِهِمْ وَفَوْقَهُمْ وَتَحْتَهُمْ وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْجَهْمِيَّةَ مِنْهُمْ هِشَامٌ الْفُوطِي قال إنما يعذب الله عند النار ردا على الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah said, and to have iman that Allah will punish the creation in the fire in shackles, fetters and chains. The fire will be inside them and above them and below them. Whereas the Jahmiyyah among them, Hisham al-Futi said, Allah will only punish them near the fire, next to the fire, in rebuttal of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just very briefly, with regard to this person mentioned here, whom he's refuting amongst others, Hisham al-Futi, and some of the, in the footnotes they mention, that Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar said about him in Lisan al-Mizan that this person being refuted here, Hisham, he was Hisham ibn Umar al-Futi, with a dhamma on the fa and with a sukoon on the waw, al-Futi. He was one of the companions of al-Hudayl, and he was a caller to the position of the Mu'tazila. Furthermore, Sheikh al-Suhaymi, he mentions in his explanation, or in his lectures of the in explanation, Sheikh Sahimi said that his teacher was Al-Hudayl, who is well known as Allah, Al-Allah, and that he had this deviated belief that those who enter the hellfire, it will become like their very nature. After they've been in the fire for some time, they'll become of the same nature as the fire. So it will become natural for them, to the extent that they will feel delight in the fire. It will become like the very, very nature for them, and they'll feel delight in it. Deviation he came up with. And then his student, the one mentioned here, Hisham al-Futi, he differed with his teacher. And he refused to accept that they would actually enter the fire. He said, no, rather they will be punished by next to the fire. I mean, they'll be scorched, they'll be outside by next to it, and be scorched outside it. We saw Imam al-Barbahari refuted that saying. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, he's saying, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهُ يُعَذِّبُ الْخَلْقَ فِي النَّارِ فِي الْأَغْلَالِ وَالْأَمْكَالِ وَالسَّلَاسِلِ وَالنَّارُ فِي أَجْوَافِهِمْ وَفَوْقَهُمْ وَتَحْتَهُمْ. And to have iman, to truly believe that Allah will punish the creation in the fire, in chains, in shackles, fetters and chains. The fire will be inside them, and above them, and beneath them. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, Allah the Majestic and Most High will cause the hellfire to blaze with the bodies of the disbelievers. So they are firewood for the fire of hell. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ وَقُودُ النَّارِ. Surah Al-Imran, the third surah, ayah 10. With the explanation, and they, the disbelievers, are fuel for the fire. Sheikh Fawzan said, it will burn with them and use their bodies as fuel, and Allah's refuge is sought. فَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا قُطِّئَتْ لَهُمْ ثِيَابٌ مِّن نَارٍ يُصَبُّ مِن فَوْقِ رُؤُوسِهِمُ الْحَمِيمُ يُصْحَرُ بِهِ مَا فِي بُطُونِهِمْ وَالْجُلُودُ وَلَهُمْ مَقَامِئُ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ. Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, Ayahs 19 to 21. With the explanation, so those who disbelieve, will have garments of fire put out for them. Boiling water will be poured down from above upon their heads. It will melt their insides and their skins. And there will be for them hooked rods of iron with which they will be beaten. Sheikh Barzan said, so Allah mentioned that the torment will occur upon the bodies of the disbelievers, and that the fire will burn with them and blaze away, consuming them. يصب من فوق رؤوسهم الحميم. The same ayah, Surah Al-Hajj, ayah 21, the explanation. Teen rather, that boiling water will be poured down upon their heads from above. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and from the Mu'tazila there are those who said, they will not be tormented, they will not be tortured. And the fire will not blaze away, burning their bodies. Rather, they will be punished next to the fire, by the fire only. But as for their bodies, then they will not actually burn. They will not actually blaze and burn. Whereas Allah the Majestic and Most High says in the Quran that they are the fuel of the fire. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَوَّلُوا أَنْ تُسَعَّرُوا بِهِمُ النَّارِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْعَالِمُ الَّذِي لَا يَعْمَرُ بِعِلْمِهِ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقُ الَّذِي يُرَائِي فِي صَدَقَتِهِ وَالْمُجَاهِدُ الَّذِي يُرَائِي بِجِهَادِهِ. A hadith reported by Muslim as hadith 1905 from a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. The translation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the first of those for whom the fire will blaze on the day of resurrection will be a scholar who did not act upon his knowledge, and the one who gave in charity, who shows off in giving charity, and the one who, the mujahid, the one who fought in Allah's path, who fought to show off. The Shaykh Fawzan said, al-aghlal, the word al-aghlal, literally, you know, translated as shackles, its meaning is that his hands will be tied, will be bound to his neck, and Allah's refuge is sought. And al-ankal, fetters, are instruments of torture. His fetters, iron fetters, are instruments of torture. And the Shaykh quotes the ayah, إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ سَلَاسِلَ وَأَغْلَالًا وَسَعِيرًا. Surah Al-Insan, 76 Surah, ayah 4, with the explanation, we have prepared for the disbelievers iron chains and fetters to bind their hands and a blazing fire. إِنَّ لَدَيْنَا أَمْكَالًا وَجَحِيمًا. Surah Al-Muzzammil, the 73rd Surah, ayah 12, with the explanation, we have fetters and a raging fire. Shaykh Fawzan said, this word al-ankal, fetters, they are instruments of torture, and Allah's refuge is sought. Chains and shackles and a blazing fire. وَالنَّارُ فِي أَجْوَافِهِمْ وَفَوْقَهُمْ وَتَحْتَهُمْ. And the fire will be in their bellies, inside of them, and above them, and beneath them. لَهُمْ مِنْ جَهَنَّمَ مِهَادٌ وَمِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ غَوَاشٌ وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الظَّالِمِينَ. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, ayah 41, with the explanation, they, the disbelievers, will have the hellfire as a bed. Over them there will be coverings of fire. And likewise, we will recompense the disbelieving wrongdoers. Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, ayah 41. Alhamdulillah.